I'm thankful for every one of you that are here this morning, and I'm looking forward to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to you this morning. I trust you have been in prayer this week. It's for your own interest that you would be in prayer for the coming day of worship. And God knows for sure that without Him, we can do nothing, as we saw in a recent passage. And without Him, I can do nothing. I can always speak words. I can always read a text. But it is a glorious mystery that God calls men to preach the gospel to men. Maybe I should say that more relevantly. God calls sinners to preach the gospel to sinners because He is determined to get all the glory for it. So that's if that's going to happen this morning, and I trust that it will, that He will feed His sheep this morning, it will be because of His glory and His power. So therefore, let us be in earnest prayer that He will do the ultimate work, this ultimate spiritual work, and feed our souls just like Brother Kendall prayed, that He would feed our souls in just the way that we need and meet our need through the gospel this morning. Because I don't know what every position is. I don't know the status, the warmness or the coldness, the struggles or the joys. I don't know the fullness of every soul here, but your shepherd does. Your Lord does, and that's amazing. He knows you intimately, better than you know yourself. That can both be frightening, for sure, but because He's a great shepherd and He's meek and lowly, that ultimately is very reassuring for us, that He knows us better than we know ourselves, because He is determined to care for us, and He cares for us by feeding us from His Word. So with that in mind, let's prayerfully turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We will read another statement by Jesus Christ that illustrates how God is supplying your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That is, that Jesus Christ, the person Himself, is your need, and He fulfills very specific needs that you have that you absolutely can't survive or do without. He fulfills them exclusively through the Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And here we have a statement by Jesus Christ that illustrates this. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In the structure of this statement, it is an exclusive claim that can be stated either way. So, Jesus is the light of the world. The light of the world is Jesus. It is as the other illustrations that He has given concerning Himself, this is an all-encompassing, exclusive claim. Other ways to say this that Jesus is iterating would be, I and no other and the light of the world. The light of the world that you see, that exists, is coming from nowhere else but me, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. Okay, let's just step back a minute and think about this statement. We do hear all sorts of claims to truth, claims to light, claims to wisdom that are marketed to us in the world. We'll go a little while and then we'll have some folk pop up and he will claim to have the know in the matter, in whatever the subject is. If you'll follow this that I have prescribed, then all will be well. I mean, just take your pick. The world's flooded with these kinds of statements. But what if today, this week, there is an announcement by somebody like this? This exclusive. This statement of absolute sovereignty, power, control in this matter. I am the light of the whole world. That sounds presumptuous to say the least, doesn't it? It would sound presumptuous. It would sound full of pride. The most egotistical person in the whole world only would so presume to make a statement like this. I am the light of the whole world. That's quite a statement, isn't it? It comes with some substantial and necessary results, implications, I should say. If this person is the light of the world, then it implicates us to be following him. Well, you have folks in history that basically make claims like this. But every single one has proven to be falling short of that light. Why is Jesus any different? Why is Jesus of Nazareth any different? One fellow said about Jesus, I wish I could remember off the top of my head who it was, but it doesn't matter. It's a good statement. That Jesus Christ is either a liar, or he's a lunatic, or he's Lord. And it's because of statements like this that we make a statement about Jesus like that. Because he wasn't just trying to get part of the market share of light, part of the market share of wisdom. I'm a good source for wisdom, but there are some other good sources over here. I'm a good source for light. I'm the brightest flashlight on the shelf of many flashlight options. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, I am the only light. There is no other light but me. See? And so he demands a response. This kind of statement demands a response. And he's either out of his mind, in which case we need to put him in the trash can and move on and keep looking. He's a lunatic. He's crazy. He's not thinking right. Or he's a liar. He knows he's not this, but he's trying to deceive you and get you to follow him, which is true of many. It would make an otherwise outlandish claim like this. In which case, you definitely should not be following him. You definitely should not be giving credence to him. But if that's not the case, and the testimony proves that it's not the case, the testimony of his person, of his life, the witness of his life, then he is what he claims he is. And that is that he is the light of the world. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, I'm presenting this gospel to you in this context of showing that God is providing an essential need that you have that you cannot have fulfilled outside of Jesus Christ. And so what is that need? The need is that you need light. You need light because you have no light within you. I'm sorry to hurt your pride, to hurt your ego, but it's the truth of the Scriptures. My friends, we have no light in ourselves, and we're doomed to walk off the cliff because we're in complete darkness. And we're culpable. We have no light. Say it to yourself many times over again if you need to. I have no light in myself, and I must have light, or I'm doomed, truly. And God has come in, and He has given, and He has provided this essential need that you cannot live without. You cannot survive without. He has given you the light in Jesus Christ Himself. And it is a gift of God Almighty, a sovereign gift. And so Jesus says, once again, we're going to hammer it in this morning, I am the light of the world. Let's go back to John chapter 1 for some commentary by the same writer on this man, Jesus Christ, that is the light of the world. We could spend, it would be appropriate at certain times to spend a whole morning nailing home that first part of the fact that I have no light in myself and I need it. That's what we call being totally depraved, that I, to the core, to the essence of every part of my being, I'm corrupted by sin, and I don't have the light of God. I don't have the truth of God within me because I have forsaken God in my flesh, and I am depraved of light. Well, I should say I'm depraved by sin, so I am deprived of light. But I'm not going to do that all morning. I'm going to trust that each of us has a solid grip on that ugly truth about ourselves. And we're going to move straight to the light. So John chapter 1, let's read in verse 4. We'll start at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. In other words, it's through, the emphasis here is on him. It's through him that people will know God. Through him they would believe and have light. He was not that light. John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. testifying to this depravity of man. This utter lack of inner light. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God speaks. So his Word is revealed. And his Word reveals himself. His Word expresses himself. That's what your Word does. It expresses you. It communicates out of you toward another. And so the Word, God speaks through his Word, and he is revealing himself perfectly through his Word. Therefore, his Word is the light of God. God showing himself forth through his Word is him providing light. It is the illumination of himself. And so the Word is the light. The Word is the light. This is Jesus Christ. Continuing down in this passage, it emphasizes that the man, Jesus Christ, was the one who was the light. And who, it says in verse 16, I will read 15 and 16, John bare witness of him. He bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." So it is the Word made flesh that is the light, the illumination of God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15. I want to provide a contrast from the scriptures, because Jesus says, "I am the light," and he says this actually in the midst of, in the larger context, in chapter 7, it's a larger context of a dialogue that he is having with the chief priests and the Pharisees, aka the religious elite. The religious elite. And it is in that context of that conversation that he says, "I am the light of the world." So to them, this is blasphemous. They're the gatekeepers of the truth. They're the gatekeepers of the law. They're the ones that are above everyone else in Jewry, and they call the shots, and they determine whether the law is being kept or whether the law is being broken, and they take it upon themselves to add unto the law whatever they deemed fit. Who could possibly come along and claim to have more light from God than we, the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees? Blasphemous talk. Yet Jesus speaks this in the to and in the presence of these religious elite. So in Matthew chapter 15, let's read what Jesus has to say about these religious elite. Matthew chapter 15. And this is going to help us handle the words of Jesus, the statement of Jesus Christ, and it be relevant for us in our day and time. What do we do with this in our day and time? Matthew 15, we'll start with verse 7. Ye hypocrites, ye hypocrites. He's speaking to the scribes and Pharisees here of Jerusalem. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy unto you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Did you notice? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. That is a compelling illustration, isn't it? Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not the man. These religious leaders, the religious elite, that pretty much everyone else hallowed in their hearts and minds, Jesus Christ calls them on the carpet. In another passage, he calls them whited sepulchres, tombs. He says, you're clean on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones on the inside. They gave lip service to God. They thought genuinely that they knew God and that they were doing Him service. But Jesus says, you're so darkened that you have fooled yourself, and you can't see that you are not walking in light. You are rejecting the light, and you're walking in complete darkness. Even though you do have a facade of religiosity, you have a facade of spiritual mindedness, but you're in utter darkness because you are rejecting the light of the world, Jesus Christ. There's much of this in the world, in society, that we must be sober-minded about interpreting and being aware of. There's plenty of fine things that are said by folks but we must be able to discern when someone is claiming truth but is not committed or believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light. Claiming or espousing light, that's his claim. I'm shedding light. But out of the same mouth, I'm rejecting Jesus Christ. That takes spiritual discernment. That takes wisdom. That takes being rooted and submerged in the Word of God. Jesus Christ calls out these Pharisees who were duping just about everybody else. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 4. How do we make this wise discernment? Do we just try to make good judgment of our own on our own basis, of our own opinion? Oh, that would be no better, would it? Trying to make good, wise judgment based upon my own insights. That's no better than the Pharisees. That's building a house of cards. Well, John here again in his first letter gives us the principle by which to discern what we hear, what we see, to see if it is truly light. I am sure that you've noticed, I say sarcastically, that the world is exceedingly dark. And as Christians, we are charged to make wise discernment and to be able to discern light from darkness, truth from falsehood. And so how do we do this? Now that I'm finally here. 1 John chapter 1, chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I read a really good article. If I can get back to it, I'll share it with you all sometime. It'd be very good to read. I read a very good article from World Magazine this past week, and the writer was charging Christians to be wise in who they give their ear to in this world. Because in this political climate, particularly in our country, there are plenty of folks who are making, let's say, conservative arguments about things, about stuff that's going on, making things sound a lot more closer to the truth than the other end of the spectrum. Yet, these same people are not, some of them, obviously this is not a blanket statement, but some of these same people, they are not moral people. They are not people who are honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they have good things to say in a certain context about a certain subject that we may agree with, but as Christians, our allegiance is not to a political party. It's not to a particular vein of philosophy. Our allegiance is to the light of the world who claims that light exclusively for himself. We're followers of Christ. We're not followers of John Deere. Put your name in here that you like to follow on YouTube or Facebook or hear the news about. We're not disciples. We ought not to be disciples of these people individually, but discern what they have to say if it's prudent. Eat the chicken, spit out the bones, but remember soberly that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ alone, and all things that I hear, that I witness, must be filtered through the light, Jesus Christ. This is instrumental. This principle in 1 John 4 is instrumental in how a Christian does this and walks discerningly through life, so that we are not duped by those who are actually enemies of Christ. Well, let me read the last part of Jesus' statement again. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Here is the necessary response to Jesus being the light of the world. You confess this morning that Jesus is the light of the world. This is your confession as a Christian. And the response to this, the response that this confession demands, that the truth that Jesus is claiming, stating, demands, is that we follow that light. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Isn't that a wonderful promise that Jesus gives to his disciples? Now, that's what I want. That's what my desire is. And when I'm in the darkest place, you know, a classic example is going through some of those, taking a cave walk, and they turn out all the lights. And it's so loud that the darkness and the quietness is just unbearably loud because it's so complete in its darkness. Utterly dark in a scene like this, the need for light is without question obvious. It's the only thing that's on your mind, and you don't even want to take a step forward until you have some light to guide you. And in that scene, when the darkness is utter, then that need is most present. It's most obvious. And every decision that you make is filtering through your recognition of a need for light. So you're not going to decide to keep going down the path or go this way or change your directions until you have light to guide you, because without it, you are in utter darkness. And it's obvious that you must have the light. This is our state as sinners. This is our state as just people in a culture, in a world, living in a world. And so Jesus says, I am the light, therefore follow me, and you will not walk in darkness, but you shall have the light of life. Turn back to Matthew chapter 5. And this, so the question is begged. How? What does this look like? Jesus answers this question for us. I'm going to read the statement first, Matthew 5:14, and then go back and read what comes before it, because it describes what he says. Matthew 5:14, ye are, this is Jesus speaking to his followers, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. You get to be a partaker of this light in disseminating, in illuminating. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see what the light's doing? When the light is shining forth, what is it doing? It's glorifying the Father. It's illuminating His glory. That's wonderful. And we get to be partakers of, we're privileged to be partakers of this work. But we said, I don't have light in myself. I'm a ball of darkness in myself. And so how am I a light of the world? Well, we're something like the moon. The moon was incredibly bright the last night or the night before when it was full. And it was also clear skies. It's amazing how bright it can be. But the moon is not producing any light of itself at all. Isn't that amazing? Yet it's so bright. And why is this? Because the sun is reflecting off the moon onto us. And so it is emitting the light of the sun, because it is providing a very productive reflection of the light itself. This is how we are lights of the world, when Jesus himself is the light of the world. So what does this look like? How are you a light of the world when you're following Jesus Christ? When you're doing, when we're doing what he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, this is what it looks like. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The disciple, remember what we said last week, a disciple is a learner of Jesus Christ, someone who's hearing and following him. A disciple of Jesus Christ is one that is walking in a way that is unnatural to the human person, to human flesh. These are unnatural characteristics of sinful men. And it is through Christ, who is the light, abiding in me and having a transformative impact in me, that I would be characterized and that I would be walking in these ways known as the Beatitudes. And these characteristics of the follower of Jesus Christ, let me tell you, is light in a dark world. Light in a dark world. See, it's not required of you. In order for you to be light in the world, is not required of you to go on a grand worldwide crusade. If God calls you to that, that may be the right thing to do. But that's not the bar that's necessary for you to be a light in this world. Because, my friends, the world is dark. And when you are being faithful to Jesus Christ, you're being light in the world. He says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." He is saying that Jesus has lit you up with himself. And he's done it for a purpose. He hasn't lit you up and given you his grace and made you to be a partakers of his light. Or as I think is it Philippians or Ephesians says, that he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He hasn't done this to put you in the cupboard so you have no effect. He's lit you up so that you are manifesting his light in this world. It's a wonderful privilege that we are given. And so, he says, let your light so shine before men. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." How do I apprehend? How do I, as it were, shine the light of Jesus Christ? How do I be seeking to enlighten my path, my life, by Jesus Christ, who is the light? He says, my word. My word. Just as Jesus Christ is the word of God and is therefore the light of God, the words of Jesus Christ, his scriptures, are him illuminating himself toward us. And so we handle his word, we treasure it, we possess it, and we shine it. And so wherever we're walking, like in that cave, we don't take one step without the word of God being a lamp unto my path, or a light unto my path. That's the principle. That is the operating principle for the Christian that we should be seeking after and implementing. His word is a tremendous treasure, and it is just as exclusive, has an exclusive claim to light in the way that Jesus himself does, because this is his word. There is no other authority on light. Let me say it very clearly. Once again, there is no other authority on light and truth in this world than the Word of God. And that must be the basis for our walk in this world and interpreting life, interpreting the events, making wise discernment, etc. Finally, I want to turn with you to 1 John chapter 1, because the light of Jesus Christ has a profound transformative effect on the sinner that he has drawn by his grace. And this is the most personal and most important in how we would walk in the light and not walk in darkness. In 1 John chapter 1, let's begin in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, like those Pharisees. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Jesus Christ, the light, is a polarizing figure. And he's polarizing because sinners like darkness, because it hides their evil works. And my beloved, we sinners like darkness because it hides our evil works. But God has called us out of that, where our greatest love is no longer to fulfill my flesh in sin. My greatest love is towards him. And so he has given us a desire. He's given us the spirit to fight sin, to be overcomers of that sin, like Jesus said earlier, and to live in his light. And so the light of God's word has an amazing effect. It exposes my sin. That's why in my flesh, I don't like to read it sometimes. But in the Spirit, I want to be reading his word because I want my sin exposed. And sometimes it is even a secret sin. David said in Psalm 19, he said, cleanse me from secret sins. That is, sins I don't even realize are sins. But I begin to realize their sins when I'm in God's word and the light of his word is shining on me. It exposes the darkness, it chases out the darkness, exposes the sin, and empowers me to walk in obedience. And so the light, the lamp of his word, as the psalm says, is a powerful and necessary instrument in our daily life. So when our sin is exposed, the good news of the gospel is it doesn't stop there. Your sin is exposed and then you are judged to hell. Well, that will be true for those who are not in Jesus Christ. But for the believers in Jesus Christ, John writes, it exposes your sin, but you have a path made clear to you to confess your sin to speak the same thing about your sin as God says about it, to confess your sin, to turn from that sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that is the best news that the light gives. That is the best news, is that the light illuminates the path for us to deal with our sin and to be right with God. And so he says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is light that we need. And I'll tell you another thing, that is being a light in the world that doesn't know how to deal with sin. They come up with every possible way of dealing with sin and dealing with darkness other than through Jesus Christ, because they don't want to confess that He is Lord, that He is the light. My friends, when we follow Jesus in this way, and we are shining light on our sins, and we are confessing our sins and being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ by His grace, this is being light in the world. It's showing the world that Jesus Christ is the light, that He is the way, that He is the truth, that He is the life. It's not to not get self-righteous so that we have something to give to the world. It is to be faithful to Jesus Christ in dealing with our sins and following Him in repentance and faith. That is being light to the world, because it's pointing the world to Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. Let me say it in His words. I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's pray.